I have a message for the lost, and that message is you must be born again. In order to be saved from the wrath of God to come, and it's coming, and there are going to be men and women who go out to meet God without a substitute. And when the Lord comes, the scriptures say they'll pray that the mountains and the rocks fall on them. None can stand before a holy God without a righteous covering. And in order to be saved from this wrath which is to come, sinners must be born the second time, because the first time they were born spiritually dead. Men, women, put them all in one category, sinners. Many of your family and friends, even some of you, are oblivious to your need and totally unaware of your spiritual condition. Why? Because you're dead, the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man, the spiritually dead man or woman, receiveth not, that's what the scripture says, the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned, spiritually hidden. And the dead can neither, according to that verse, receive or know anything concerning God, his Son, or his Spirit, because they're dead in sin. They died in Adam. When Adam disobeyed God as their federal head, their representative, they all died in him and with him. And God had warned Adam that in the day that he ate of that forbidden tree, that he would surely die. Multitudes, as I said, are going out to meet God. What a horrific and terrible thought, having no idea who God is. Men have this preconceived idea of who God is. They have no understanding of how holy God is. They have no perception of what he, as a holy God, is going to require of them when they meet him. And we know what God requires, because God has taught us through the scriptures. God requires perfection, perfect holiness, perfect righteousness, perfect obedience. And that presents a great dilemma for you and I, because we're dead in trespasses and sin. We, the sinners that we are, being dead, void of life, have nothing to offer God, especially in the area of perfection. Everything that I have is tainted with sin. So, we must be born again. No sinner will ever desire to be born again until they first see that they're dead right now. There are many who are physically alive, but they're spiritually dead. And they'll remain that way unless and until God, by the power of his Spirit, enables them to be born again. And I was raised in a religious denomination that preached man's free will and works, and I'm certainly not a stranger to the term of being born again. When I was younger, I heard it so many times that I grew tired of hearing it. And people would say, "Are you born again?" "Oh, I'm born again. Did you know so-and-so got born again? Did you know that so-and-so is not born again?" "Why, you don't act like somebody that's born again." And I know this much: many who claim to be born again have no idea what the new birth required. They think that being born again somehow requires and involves their will and their work and their decision and their participation, their cooperation to help God so that they might receive this newness of life. But that's not so. In most cases, those who think and believe those things will wind up trusting in those things instead of trusting in Christ and his atoning blood for the forgiveness of sins. I've seen it so many times. You ask a man what's the hope that he has within him, and he'll tell you, "I was saved on such and such date and baptized, and don't have any idea who God is and what God has done for you and I, who are nothing but sin and dead in our trespasses." And I suppose this message came about in a roundabout way, because I know a family who has a young boy, probably 8 or 9 years old, sweet, well-behaved young fella, who was recently baptized. Today, parents and religion put a lot of pressure on young people to be saved. And unless God at some point in this young man's life divinely intervenes and shows him the truth, that young man will more than likely wind up trusting in the act of his baptism instead of salvation that's found in Christ alone. Men and women say things to young people like, "Don't you want to be born again? You want Jesus to dwell in your heart, don't you?" And I remember when I was about the same age as this young man, 8 to 10 years old, the church that I attended was relentless in getting young people to make a profession, walk an aisle, raise a hand, get baptized into water, when they were really too young to even know what sin was. I remember the church that my family attended rented a local movie theater one time, and they showed a film about hell and its torments. And that movie, I'm telling you, was literally made to scare the hell out of you. I mean that literally. Religious scare tactics rarely don't last long. And what I'm trying to say is, sadly, false religion has made a mockery out of the new birth. They say, "Okay, now you're born again. Everything's all right between you and God." And men and women, boys and girls alike, just run off and live like they want to, give God no more thought, no mind. And all of us have family and friends alike that live their lives having no interest in Christ, yet they think they're saved because they did just that. They asked Jesus into their heart. They repeated a sinner's prayer, they got dunked in some water, and they were told that they were saved. And no wonder most folks have no interest, no time, no interest, no desire to know what it truly means to be born again. I'm warning you, sinners better find out what it means to be born again. And our Lord said, you must be born again. Now turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. And I know that most of you are familiar and know this portion of Scripture, but it's my prayer and desire this morning that you might know Him of who the Scriptures speak. John, chapter 3. This is how men and women are born again. By personally knowing and becoming intimately acquainted with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's begin reading in verse 1. John 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now, who were the Pharisees? The Pharisees in the day of our Lord were religious leaders. They prided themselves in being moral and righteous and holy before God and men, but they didn't know God and they didn't know Christ. And I suppose we still have Pharisees today, though we don't call them that. We still have those who think themselves to be holy and righteous, morally superior to others, but they don't know God or Jesus Christ. They too must be born again. In verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these things that thou doest except God be with him." Nicodemus came here to our Lord with some flattery. Obviously, he recognized Christ as a superior teacher by calling him Rabbi, which means master. It was an official title of honor. Nicodemus, if I may paraphrase a little bit, said, my colleagues and I, we know some things. We know some things. We know that you're a teacher from God. We know that much. We know that God sent you. We know that no one can do miracles like the ones you do except or unless God be with you. We know that. Nicodemus knew some things, but he didn't know Jesus Christ. You can know a lot of things and not know God and His appointed Savior. Our Lord was not impressed by the flattery of Nicodemus. Why would He be? What is man that God would be mindful of him? Is God judged by man? No, man's judged by God. And I'd have you notice here, and all that we might learn from this, The Lord Jesus gets right to the heart of the matter. I want to do the same thing this morning. I want to get right to the heart of the matter. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, that being Nicodemus, verily, verily, truly, truly. Anytime you see that in the scriptures, that means you better listen. I'm telling you something important here is what the Lord's saying. I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You see, men and women cannot see the kingdom of God for one simple reason. They're dead in trespasses and sin. That's what our Lord said right here. He said, except a man be born again, except a sinner be made alive, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Men and women can't see because they're dead. There's just one exception to them seeing. This is one exception. They must be born again. Except you be born again. Except you be made alive from on high, you're not going to see anything concerning the kingdom of God. And we know that God's word plainly declares that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Sadly, we live in a day where this religious world, where preaching has taken a back row seat to entertainment. Preaching has been reduced to men and women bragging about what they do for God. But your salvation and mine has nothing to do with what we do for God. Because we can't do anything. Why? Because we're dead. We've got to be born again. The good news for sinners is the message of what God does for sinners. Those who are spiritually dead. Only God can give a new birth, and only God can make men and women a new creation. Now, even though Nicodemus was a religious leader, a scholar in the law of God, let me show you just how dead he was to the things of the Spirit of God. You know, the questions that people ask, comments that people make, the questions they ask often reveal their spiritual state. Look at the questions this religious man asked. Verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto the Lord Jesus, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, isn't it obvious here that Nicodemus had no true understanding at all of the new birth of which our Lord spoke? Let's consider his questions a little closer. How can a man be born when he's old? Can an old man become an infant? Of course not. That'd be impossible, wouldn't it? Well, can the same man enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born again the second time? Of course not. That'd be impossible, wouldn't it? So obviously, our Lord here is not speaking of a physical birth. No man, when he's old, can turn back time. No grown man can physically be reborn. The Lord Jesus here is talking about a supernatural, spiritual rebirth. There are many men and women who are alive physically, as I said a moment ago, who are dead spiritually. Yet, in order to have life eternal, sinners are going to have to be born again, born of God, born from above. They're going to have to be made a new creature, a new creation in Christ. That's what the Spirit of God tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that's the issue. Notice that the Lord never varies from that gospel message. Verse 5. Jesus answered, verily I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And here, water doesn't mean baptism. Water here is meant in a figurative sense. It means the grace of God. The grace of God given by the Spirit of God is the effectual cause of this new birth. Apart from God and His mercy and grace, it's not going to happen. It's the sovereign grace by which the Spirit of God convinces us of sin. If you're ever going to be convinced of sin, God's going to have to convince you of it. It's the power of God that sanctifies, sets us apart, makes us perfect, renews life within us, and works faith in our hearts. And except we be born again by the power, the work, and the washing of God, by His grace, through His Spirit, we'll remain dead in our sin. Except we be born of God, we will perish in our sin. Is there anything we don't understand about that? The new birth is much, much more than just to change. It's not a change, even though it involves that. It's a creation. Regeneration is much more than just reformation of life. And I hear men all the time talk, oh yeah, I go to a Reformed church. We believe the Reformed doctrine. Well, we need much more than just reformation. We need much more than just renovation. We need much more than just some improvement. The command from God is not you must be washed or you must be improved or you must be reformed or you must be renovated. The command of God is you must be born. Born again, born of God, born from on high. And I'm telling you, I don't know what makes men and women think that our present nature just needs some sprucing up. A little caulk and a coat of paint's not going to do the job for us. We're rotten to the core. When Teresa and I moved to Texas, they were remodeling the parsonage there. They began to do some cosmetic work in the bedroom, and they went to paint the walls in the bedroom, and they noticed some little patterns of bubbles in the drywall. And one of the men there who had a lot of experience as a remodeler and that type of thing, he said, oh my, he said, we got termites. And I said, well, what makes you think? He said, well, all those little, he said, they're eating the paste off the back, the glue off the back of the drywall. And he said, if it's showing up here, he said, I'm telling you, it's bad. And of course, I was anxious to get in the play. I'm like, can't we just let it go? He said, no, you can't let it go. You know, Texas termites are big. So, had to tear out the sheetrock, had to tear out the window, had to tear off the brick, tear out the studs. When they got that wall exposed, those 2x4s in that wall were on the bottom. They were actually in a point. The termites had eaten these things to a point. That wall was it was ready to fall. It was in bad shape. But I'm telling you that sin does much more harm to us than those termites did to that bedroom wall. We need more than just a little putty and paint and caulking. That wall's got to come down. Sin has slain us. A new life must be given. There can be no improving to this present nature. That's the point I'm trying to make. It's too far gone. It's dead. And we're a sinful mess. Sinful mess. Our nature's evil. Our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We are a cesspool of iniquity. Does that offend you? Well, if it does, then you must be born again. Because when you're born of God, you're going to take sides with God against yourself. And you're going to say, yea, Lord, that's exactly what I am. It's not just a change of opinion. You know, men can be converted from one set of religious opinions to another. A man or woman's opinion on religious matters. You can be a Catholic one day and convert to Pentecostalism the next, Baptist the next. And you can change your doctrine and your creeds and time again and still be no nearer a child of God. Yet, when the nature of a sinner's changed, that's when salvation's accomplished. Got to be born again. God's got to give you a new nature. We don't just spruce up the old one. It has to be crucified daily. We've got to be given new life. Paul said to the church at Ephesus, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's not good news, is it? Now here's the good news. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, He's quickened us, made alive, born us, begot us, together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And as you know, that word quickened means to be reanimated. Reanimated means to be restored to life. We must be born again. We must be created anew. We must become new men and women. Paul said also in Ephesians 4, put ye on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's the only way. We've got to put on this new man, which after God is created as Christ himself. And as many of you know, I was adopted. My adoption gave me the right to be the son of Leo and Maggie Edmondson. But regeneration, this new birth, that comes from God, and that gives us the nature of being his children. Well, what does that mean? That's what Paul meant when he wrote this. He said in Galatians 4, verse 6, and because ye are sons and daughters, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That's dear terminology there. That means daddy. And you know, a baby is not born because they cry. A baby cries because they're born. A baby's not born when it breathes. A baby breathes when it's born. A baby hears because it's born. A baby sees because it's born. A baby is born and then it loves. It doesn't love first before it's born. And that's what the Lord is telling Nicodemus here. He said, you're not going to be able to see the kingdom of God unless and until you're born from above by God, born of God. We're not sons because we cry and we call him Father. We cry and call him Father because we're his children. If you have a reference Bible, you may have noticed that to be born again means to be born from above. Until a sinner is born from above, the heavenly world, the spiritual world, is dead to you. It just is. Spiritual life means nothing to the lost because being dead, they have no feelings. Their feelings are dead to God because they're dead. He that believeth not is condemned already, born condemned, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And I'd have you notice that this new birth is personal. You must be born again. I'd have you notice that this new birth is imperative. It's an absolute necessity. You must be born again. It's an absolute must. And you may be rich and you may be poor, but you must be born again. And you may be intelligent, you may be educated, and you may be talented, but you must be born again. And if we're not born again, we have no spiritual life. And as our first birth gave us physical life, but it sure didn't give us any spiritual life. And here before the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what I want you to see this, is a man that's religious, he's moral, he's a student of the Word of God, he's a ruler in the Jewish religion. But he doesn't know Christ. He doesn't have any life. He doesn't have any peace. He doesn't have any joy. He doesn't see the kingdom of God. Why? Because he hadn't been born again. He's not born of God. And I think about what James wrote in James chapter 1, verse 18. He said, of his own will beget he us through the word of truth. Whose will? Ours? No. He beget us, beget he us. God Almighty beget us, brought us into life, brought us into existence. That's what beget means. James said that God brought us into existence spiritually. He beget us with the word of truth. The scriptures say that through his abundant mercy, we've been begotten, brought, born again into a lively hope. Peter said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Paul wrote, he said, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, and hath not entered the heart of a man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. He hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit takes the deep things of God and makes them known. And so Holy Spirit takes the Word of God, which is the seed of life, and he begets, he quickens, he regenerates, he makes alive the chosen sinner, and then they live. Not until. And Paul wrote to the Thessalonians and he said, "Brethren, I know your election of God, for our gospel didn't come to you in word only. No, it came to you in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance." You know, that's where I find my assurance. Isn't that where you find yours? Not that I save myself, but that God, by his mercy and grace, saved me. That's my assurance. He does the saving. I did the sinning, he does the saving. And the word of God is preached in power. That's why preaching is so important, because it's through the power of God's Spirit that takes the word of God and sends it into the heart of his people. It's planted there and it grows. We grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. The seed's planted in the heart and the seed lives, grows in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. That incorruptible seed is the word of life. Christ is the word of God, and Christ lives within the hearts of his people when they're born again. Now look at verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Listen to me closely and I'll finish. Our natural birth, being born according to the flesh, we are carnal and corrupt, fallen in sin, dead in trespasses and sin. We cannot discern spiritual things. Don't understand them. Nicodemus didn't. How can a man that's old be born again? How can a man that's old enter again into his mother's womb? He had no idea of what Christ was talking about. Because of this comes the necessity of being born again. Sinners that are regenerated, though, and born by the Spirit of God can discern and judge the things of spiritual nature. Why? Because they've been made alive in Christ. They now see something of God's holiness in their sin. Being born of God and given spiritual life, they now understand that God in Christ has provided for them that perfect holiness and righteousness that he requires of them. Now they see Christ, their Savior, their substitute, and their sacrifice for sin, and they enter into the kingdom of God. They can both see and enter into the kingdom of God, and it's only by the work of righteousness that he accomplished for them. I'll simply close with the words of our Lord found in verse 7. Marvel not. Don't be amazed. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Dear sinner, don't marvel that you must be born again. For you must be to see and enter the glory of heaven. But marvel at Jesus Christ, the one who of his own will begat you with the word of truth. He's truly the amazing and marvelous one. Oh, may God enable you to look to him and to him alone.